guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, we are continuing in our series on the road to something better, and we're in our final episode as we head into Easter. We're going to be looking at Luke 24, verse 13 to 35, and we're going to pick it up in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled them together and said, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Awesome. So here we are. I'm joined with Ryan again. Hey, Ryan, welcome.
Hey.
Back. So we're on this road to Emmaus. Jesus has, we've seen, he entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, you know, symbolizing humility and peace. He went to the cross where the big question was over and over again, is this the King of the Jews? We saw in the last episode, Jesus, the women go to the tomb and Jesus' body is not there. And Peter, they kind of think it's nonsense. And then Peter goes and explores and there's this sense, okay, he is the King of the Jews. And it's worth exploring the resurrection of Jesus. Now we get this account on this road to Emmaus, which is this incredible moment for us that I'm really excited to dig into. So let's go there.
Yeah, we were talking about how I think we both feel a bit of a sense like if there's moments in the Bible where you wish you were there.
Yeah.
We're both like, this has got to be up there on our list of moments that just, oh, to hear Jesus say what he said. And we're only given a little window into that. Would have been amazing. Because we were talking about this is like a 22-kilometer journey they're on, and over that time,
yeah, well, Jesus is 7 miles there, 7 miles back. Is 14 miles, so according to Ryan's Google search, is about 22 Ks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So just if people were at home going, 7 miles isn't 22 kilometers.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a long chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, we see an amazing moment here with Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus and his disciples, who he loves. And we're told that he comes alongside them as they're on their way home from Jerusalem. And I just find this very fascinating, just the way Jesus just approaches them. He comes alongside, he compassionately notices what's going on for them. He sees their sadness. He asks a question, a couple of questions. And the first one is, you know, what are you talking about? And their response is interesting. It's a painful response. It's like, well, how can you ask us that? It's like, don't you? It's just that moment you know that you're upset and you, someone asks you, hey, what's wrong? It's like, surely you should know what's wrong with me. It's just, this is such a big moment for them. The pain is just so deeply felt that it just kind of comes out in this kind of passive aggressive kind of comment, like, surely you should know.
Yeah, and I think in their response as well, so when they say, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things? Like, crucifixions were so public. Mm. And yeah, like there's a sense that, you know, they were crucified on their way into Jerusalem. You know, often it was a symbol, like if you mess with us, we'll kill you. It was a reminder to the whole community. Mm. And so there is this sense that everyone who was alive knew that Jesus was going to be killed or was crucified. Like, it was such a public thing. This wasn't a hidden thing, Jesus' death. And so, yeah, there's that sense, like they're feeling the emotion of it. How can you ask this? Mm. And there's the reality, like historical reality, like also how can you ask this? Because, you know, like everyone knows about this.
Yeah.
And then Jesus pleads ignorance and he goes, what things?
Yeah, I love it. It's like, it doesn't defend himself. It doesn't go, man, I'm just trying to be kind and generous. I'm just trying to be compassionate. It's like, no, he's just still compassionate, curious. Yeah, like you said, asks what things. And yeah, they go on to, it's a really, it's heartbreaking moment, really. It's just this moment like they feel like their hopes have been dashed. Yeah, there's a big question over the empty tomb in their mind still, although we know that Peter's got a little bit more of a, a window into what might be going on.
Yeah.
For them, it seems like it's still very much a question, like all their hopes have been abandoned when Jesus was laid in the tomb. And many things that they were hoping for seem lost.
Yeah. It's one of the things you touched on before is the journey kind of that these disciples are working through. I think so often, you know, that's true for us as well, that, you know, we're all going on some sort of journey until we see Jesus face to face. But there's also a journey to belief. Mm. And for some people in their journey to belief, they have an idea of Jesus. And there's a sense that for these disciples, they've got an idea about Jesus.
Yeah.
When Jesus asks them what things, and I think, you know, there's something revealing about that. Like for someone who says that they're a Christian, like it is worth pushing into that. And somehow, in the same way that Jesus does, getting alongside people to go, okay, tell me what you understand about Jesus. Because they go into that and they've got most of the pieces.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like it's sort of there. They understand in some ways about Jesus, you know, he died. So people have said that he's risen from the dead, but they're not sure. So it seems like they're on a journey, which is just cool to see how Jesus walks with them.
Yeah.
But then Jesus responds to them on this journey and goes, hey, let me... He doesn't say this, but it's almost like he's saying, let me bring those pieces together. Let me show you the full picture of who Jesus is. But it's fascinating in how he does that.
Yeah, absolutely. We see him, you know, in a way confront and yet comfort turmoil going on in their hearts. He says, you know, you foolish or slow hearts. They have in many ways reasons to believe. You know, this is not a comment on the fact that they couldn't actually think properly. There was no kind of mental disability going on there for them. Like, they were capable, had every reason, every opportunity to really have understood what was going on as his disciples. But what Jesus does here, he helps them understand. He helps them by just, like we were saying, just coming to them compassionately, connecting with them, understanding whether, hey, tell me what you think. Tell me what's going on. And it's like, okay, yeah, like you said, Ben, now let me help you out here. And he launches into this surprising way of helping them understand.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Jesus do this before, particularly in John's gospel with, you know, doubting Thomas, often known. And he goes, here, let me show you my hands and my feet. Yeah. Let me show you my side. But that's not what he does here.
No. Yeah, it's crazy what he does. That's right. And it's helpful you saying that. Jesus often does reveal himself in ways that he needs to for people. But here, what he shows us is there's actually enough in the Old Testament to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
That Jesus doesn't have to physically show his hands and his feet, which does remind me too, like with Thomas, when Jesus showed Thomas his hands and his feet, he said, you know, blessed are you because you've seen and believe, but kind of more blessed will be those who don't see and don't believe. But there's a sense in this passage that what Jesus is showing us is there is enough in the Old Testament to know who Jesus is. In fact, you could even go more broadly than that. There's enough in the Bible to know who Jesus is. When you explore it, dig into it, understand it, there is enough to know the way to God and who Jesus properly is in his death and his resurrection and what that means. And as he does this, he explains the scriptures, how they all point to Jesus. And yeah, man, we could talk a lot about a lot of different things in this, but just quickly, the whole Bible is all about Jesus.
Yeah.
Just making that very clear.
Yeah. It does make sense in a lot of ways. Like when we meet someone face to face, we can often assume we know all about them by just how they look, and we might have a little bit of information, but really we don't know them until we know their backstory, where they've come from, where they've grown up. And that is what the Old Testament is in many ways. It's the story of how God's been at work in the world. It's the backstory to everything that leads up to who Jesus is, why he's come, and what he's going to do. It is enough. It's sufficient. It's there. He goes, look, this is all about me.
And
just kind of slowly takes them through when he says, at the beginning with Moses, so that's the five. We're thinking Moses, it's the five first books of the Bible, and the prophets was often the history books, but also the latter prophets as well. So they're kind of all together. So he's basically sat down with them on this journey. Well, didn't sit down, walked with them on this journey, kind of opened up the whole Bible. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and shown from the beginning to the end of the Old Testament how every time it points to Jesus. Now, they eat together. We see this when they do eat together in verse 31. We see their eyes were opened. There's a sense that they actually still needed their eyes to be opened.
Mm.
God had to do this work. We see, in the letters, they explain kind of this reality that God has to do this work. They needed God to help them understand. And then when they reflect on what happened, you know, and this is the moment for Ryan and I that we were talking about before the podcast, like just how good it would have been there. Because when they reflected on how Jesus explained to them how he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, they say this, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?"
Mm.
And you just think about, you know, whenever you, sometimes if you've ever been sitting in and you've heard like an awesome sermon or whatever, you get away from it, you're just like frothing, fired up over it. Well, this is Jesus going from the whole Old Testament, how it points to him. It would have been such a beautiful, amazing, however long that journey was, you know, the 22 Ks or whatever, just like, man, tell me more about how you were the fulfillment of that story in the Old Testament or that psalm in the Old Testament or that prophet. Yeah, it would have been so good.
Oh, absolutely. And it is an amazing moment. Like, we began with them on the journey, and in many ways we kind of come to Jesus with hearts full of so much stuff. Confusion, anger, hurt, sadness, fear, whole load of stuff. And yet, kind of by being with Jesus, by having him kind of take interest and care and kind of help us see who he is, our hearts are changed in that process. And we see that they come away burning. And it's really interesting. There are like studies that show like how our body reacts to situations shows us kind of what we're feeling inside. And they say like burning bodies, a sense of heat, is just the sense of love and happiness. It's just, take that for what you think. It's just really interesting, just from what was such a grieving moment became such a joyful moment. And we see that, as they were with Jesus, they became slowly awakened and made alive to God's personal presence in their life. There's power there, we see the change, but it also kind of brings with it peace.
As we wrap up this account and this mini-series on the road to something better, it is such a beautiful reminder that throughout the whole Bible, the plan was for Jesus to come into the world, to die on a cross, and for 3 days later for him to rise. And as he does this, as he goes through something so difficult and so painful, he did it so that we could have peace with God. And we want to invite you to know this peace, to know who Jesus is and what he did for you, and to know this relationship with God. Our God is not dead, he is alive, and it's such a beautiful hope that we have here. Hey, we really hope that you have an amazing Easter weekend wherever you are. As of recording this, we're not sure whether we'll be in lockdown or not, but wherever you are, just to remember that God is right there with you, and we know this is true because he died and rose again. Thanks heaps.